It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
All right, so this is a fun one. I don't know where this idea necessarily came from. It popped up yesterday, but it just sometimes the mind works in mysterious ways. But I thought this would be a very interesting topic and very useful topic to cover because, you know, people, they collect a lot of different things, right? You see people that collect, games, or they collect toys or artifacts, baseball cards, whatever. Like, people collect weird stuff all the time. But these are four things I think are truly worth pursuing, truly worth collecting in regards to you not being average, hence the podcast name, Fear Being Average. So these are things that are going to allow you to optimize, prosper, to thrive in life. They're going to allow you to create value and sustenance to what you're experiencing, right? And they're going to give you a massive return on your investment. I'm not saying the other things that we collect, like baseball cards or comic books, don't add some sense of value and joy to your life, because they absolutely do. But these things are very tangible. They're things that will expedite the process of self-growth. And that's what I'm talking about. These are self-growth things worth collecting, right? And I'll explain them all. We'll get into it. And you'll notice that a lot of these things are a little bit unique, a little bit different, a little bit outside the box thinking, but they're valuable and something worth considering, something worth chewing on for a little bit and thinking about differently, because a lot of these things I'm going to mention, or a couple of them, I only got four of them, a couple of them you might even say, I never thought about this particular subject matter in this regard. I never thought about collecting this. And there's one in particular I think we're going to really find interesting. So let's get into it, right? Why hold the carrot in front of the horse's mouth? And let's get right into it. Let's give the horse the damn carrot. All right, number one, first thing worth collecting, books. I am a big, huge book collector. I love collecting information and knowledge, right? I'm a big fitness guy. This is my industry, but I'm also very self-growth oriented. Another aspect of, what I do as the BR365 brand, it's a lot of self-improvement, self-growth. And that involves, obviously, the physiology, right? It involves the physical side of things. It also involves the mental and the emotional and the spiritual and the relationship side of things and the personal and the professional and the financial. All those things encompass what I do and what I educate on and what I preach, right? So books are, they're the blueprint. These are the main resources you need in your life to improve your life. And here's the crazy part. I was talking to a client about this today. I don't get when someone's in a rut, someone doesn't know how to get out of their own way, or they're struggling with mental health issues, or they're struggling with, getting themselves on track and creating success in their life and feeling better, feeling healthier. And you ask these people, how many books have you read, right? And they might answer one or two in that particular subject. In most cases, none, right? They've heard a few things, they've listened to a few things, they've read an article here and there, but they've never actually dove into this sort of information, right? They've never taken the time to say, hey, I'm gonna obsess over how to improve my mental health, and I'm gonna read 10 to 20 books on this subject matter from experts who study this particular field, right? That's what I did with fitness. Like, if you look around, I know a lot about fitness, but I got a lot of resources around my place here, right? If you look at my bookshelves, I probably got 15 to 25 books. And again, a lot of them are like textbooks. They're encyclopedias. Those are the things that, like, you don't just sit down and read it over a weekend. Like, these things are a chunk of time. They're very heavy. They're dense with material, but incredibly useful, right? So again, you naturally will become an expert. I'm spending a lot of hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours of reading valuable content that I'm then able to apply for thousands of more hours, right? Making me an expert in that field and give me a lot more confidence and certainty behind me living a healthy, fitter life, right? Obviously, because I have all the resources, I have all the information that I could possibly ever want. That doesn't mean I'm not going to accumulate more, because there's going to be certain things I want to learn how to be more proficient in and enhance my skill set and my knowledge base. I'm going to buy more of them, right? Because I just love learning about this subject matter. But if I was struggling with something, especially, I would 100% be diving into multiple books on that subject matter, right? I recently just purchased 2 books on self-management. I have a lot of books, you know, based on self-growth and self-improvement, improving, maybe like the Power of Ambition from Jim Rohn, for example, right? Like, you're looking to harness your ambition, you're harnessing your potential. But recently, I wanted to get better with my self-management skills. And yeah, I could Google a few things and find a couple cool techniques, but I like to be entrenched, right? I want to be dripped and dosed with the information, right? I want to feel like I am biting into the subject matter of self-management so I can become an expert in this subject, not necessarily to teach, but for myself, so I can feel like I have the blueprint on how to be a better manager of my time, right? So books are one of those things that you constantly want to dive into. It's not just read one book on one subject and call it a day. If you've ever realized when you're reading a subject matter, how much you want to talk about it, how much you're focused on it, how much you're enthralled with the information and the education that you're learning about. So why wouldn't we do this consistently? Why wouldn't we constantly be involving ourselves with information found in books? Because we know how empowering it is. We know how much it boosts our self-worth, how much it boosts our personal responsibility, how much it boosts our confidence, our interest, our focuses, our behaviors. Yet, we read a book and we call it a day. Or we never read a damn book, right? And we read these little articles here and there thinking it's going to somehow now become part of our habitual routine. That's not how it works. Like, you need to constantly program your mind to think a certain way. You need to program your mind on what you're focused on. And when you're taking in information from these valuable paper resources that are books, you are enthralled with material. And I guarantee you think much differently compared to when you're not reading consistently, especially on that particular subject matter. There's times when I'm reading books on how to make $1 million and how to create financial wealth, and all of a sudden I'm signing up for courses, right? I'm looking at different options of how to build passive income or how to build wealth or how to get my hands in another venture. Like, I am enthralled and I'm motivated and I'm driven to capitalize on the information that I'm attaining or retaining, right? So it's on us to go out there and collect more of that information. Never stop learning. Be a lifelong learner, right? Have 10, 20 books on health and fitness. Have 10 to 20 books on financial wealth. Have 10 to 20 books on optimizing your relationship. How many people have shitty relationships, yet they never actually take the time to read and become an expert in relationship health? How many people can't get themselves out of debt, yet they've never read a book on financial health, right? How many people are out of shape, struggling to lose weight, struggling to build their body up, struggling to build a body that they're confident in, and they've never read a book on health and fitness and strength training? It's mind-boggling. So do yourself a favor. Collect books. Collect this information. There is no cheaper, more inexpensive, convenient, accessible, collectible item than a book. $25, $20, $15, I know. Obviously, there's some books that are like $15, right? The Richest Man in Babylon, one of the financial staples of what you should be reading, right? Very simplistic theories and philosophies on how to build financial success, financial wealth, written in kind of story format. I think it was $9, right? Like, these are the things we need to truly appreciate, truly understand, that we have the availability of the world's most profound experts in a particular field and space, and it's at our fingertips. We can go on Amazon, We can purchase a book. That book can come to our doorstep the next day, and all of a sudden, we have 200 to 300 pages of priceless, valuable content to help us improve that area of our life. So don't tell me you're stuck. Don't tell me life sucks, but you're unwilling to educate yourself consistently. Aim to read 2-3 books a month. Again, if you're not a reader, aim to read one. If you're not someone who likes to read per se, buy an audiobook. Do things that program your mind and shape your mind, right? And collect more of it. Constantly collect. Become an expert, right? Become someone who's enthralled with this material, and I guarantee your life will dramatically improve. When I started reading, it was right after university, I started a direct marketing job, right? Commission-based sales. It was a grind, right? But I had to learn leadership skills. I had to learn, you know, financial skills and business skills, and entrepreneurship skills, how to be a business owner, how to run a business, you know, the mindset of an entrepreneur, a mindset of a wealthy individual, of someone who can communicate well and articulate their topic or what they're trying to say well. And I got obsessed with it because I realized and I witnessed how my life was improving. I experienced the knowledge I was taking in from these books and how I was applying it and immediately getting a return on my investment. All because I chose to read something an expert wrote and apply to my own life, right? Obviously, it's a pretty easy format for success. Like, that's the formula. Learn from those that have done it before, right? A smart man learns from his own mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes or successes of others. So do that. Hack the system, right? Success leaves clues. Constantly learn, constantly listen. If you haven't optimized a particular area of your life, do yourself a favor, buy 3 to 5 books on that subject matter, and do not stop reading until you feel like you have a decent level of competency within that particular subject matter. Okay, number dos, failures. Yes, this is the one I was talking about that would kind of shock people a little bit, right? I'm asking you to collect failures. Now, I'm not saying never collect successes. What I'm saying is don't be afraid to collect failures. Don't be afraid to go out and try something new. Don't be afraid to do something that you're passionate about because you might fail. I'm someone who's very failure-oriented, meaning that I'm not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid of what failure is going to mean to me. I'm not afraid of what failure is going to do to me. I'm not afraid of what failure will show others about me. I don't care about that stuff, right? I'm going to go about my life to pursue things I'm passionate about, I'm excited about, right? I'm genuinely passionate about. And if I happen to fail in those endeavors and it wasn't quite calculated properly, so be it. I'm going to learn from it. Like, I'm not an idiot who's just going to keep banging my head against the wall over and over and over and making the same mistakes over time. Like, no, I'm going to learn from those moments and I'm going to come back with a greater set of skills, a greater knowledge base, and greater ability to achieve the success that I initially went out to pursue. An example, when I first kind of jumped into the BR365 brand, I did a 365-day challenge, right? You can find that on my website, brandrick@365.com. If you want to read about it, feel free. It's a pretty fun year I pursued. And I jumped right into some pretty wild adventures, right? So every month I was doing a new physical discipline that I would do for the entire month. Every single day of that month, I was dedicating myself to that one particular physical discipline. And most of those months had a race or some sort of challenge that was connected to it. So I would train for a marathon and then I would run a marathon. I would train for an Ironman or half Ironman, then I'd compete in that half Ironman. I would train for an ultra marathon and then I would compete in that ultra marathon, right? I would train jiu-jitsu and I would compete in jiu-jitsu. So I wasn't worried about, well, what if I don't complete the marathon at a time that I'm happy with? What if I don't complete the ultra marathon? What if I don't complete the half Ironman? What if I don't medal in the jiu-jitsu tournament? Like, it was all about train, put your time into becoming better at that particular discipline, and then go for it. At that point, if you fail, you fail. Like, okay, if I didn't do it, I would have failed just as much. The only difference is I wouldn't have actually experienced that failure. I would have failed by standing on the sidelines. I still wouldn't have completed an ultra marathon. I wouldn't have completed a marathon. I would have completed a half Ironman. I wouldn't have competed in a jiu-jitsu tournament. I would have been the person saying, well, I'm not ready. I don't want to experience this failure. It's the same thing. One person simply sat in the sidelines and failed. The other person at least took action and gave themselves a shot to succeed. So pursue, collect failures, and maybe, just maybe, you're going to pick up way more successes than you do failures. But don't be afraid of collecting failures. That's all I'm saying. That year, just to give you a little bit of background and give you a little bit of closure on those stories, I ended up getting bronze at the jiu-jitsu tournament. Technically, should have been competing for gold, but that is a story for another time. I ended up doing and completing the marathon, obviously. I completed the half Ironman. I completed two ultra marathons that year. One was a 50-miler in Ancaster. The other was a 125-kilometer Canadian death race in Alberta. And then I actually competed at the 240-mile Moab in Utah in October. And that I did not complete. That was a little bit outside my scope of experience. You know, running 240 miles, and the closest thing I ran at that point was 70 miles, and I just got into running that year. Okay, I took on maybe a little bit more than I could bite off. But I wasn't going to go back and say, oh my God, that failure is going to define me. Oh my God, I'm a failure because I didn't complete 240 miles. It's like, no, like you're going to learn from it. Maybe you might say, I never want to do that thing again because it's so damn grueling. Or maybe you say, hey, I'm going to do something that's not quite as extensive yet. I'm going to build my body up to that. And I'm going to gain confidence through taking on different challenges that at least give me the potential to succeed. And if I happen to fail, I'm going to learn from it. Now, when I first got into ultramarathon running, I failed in regards to preparation, right? I was not prepared nutritionally. I was not prepared from a gear standpoint. I didn't have electrolyte tablets. I didn't have sodium tablets. I wasn't hydrated efficiently. I got tons of nasty-ass blisters in my one race in Alberta where my foot was basically just smashed at the end of it. I literally had a massive blister on the bottoms of both my feet. I was kind of having to walk on the outside of my feet. I looked like a wreck. When I was in the airport, people were asking me if I wanted a wheelchair. And like, I'm not a pussy. And if I'm walking like that, it fucking hurts. So I learned from that, right? I failed in those particular moments within a bigger picture, but I still succeeded with my goal, and I learned from it. And the next time I went on, I was more well-prepared, right? I was ready to take on a greater challenge with less of those possible limitations to experience, right? So you learn, and you get stronger, and you become more knowledgeable, and you become, you know, more proficient at what you're trying to do. And before you know it, yes, it might take longer than you thought, but eventually you succeed, right? Eventually you check it off. But if you're afraid to fail, if you're afraid to collect failures, you are not going to be someone who collects successes or successes that matter to you. You're going to be someone who lives a mediocre life who can't say that they have a lot of success in their life that they're passionate about. They might be successful from, you know what, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I got a family, yada, yada. That's great. That's definitely stuff you want to succeed in. But they're also going to say, I never got to experience the success that I was really passionate about. I never got to complete that ultra marathon. I never got to complete that half Ironman. I never got to complete that marathon because they never gave themselves a chance to fail. They never put themselves on the line. They never put themselves in the position to fail. And that's sad, because at least if you failed and you tried, at least you still have the process, the journey of you preparing for that failure. And that's where the true growth lies. It's not that I didn't or did complete a marathon or an ultra marathon. It's the miles and miles I put in preparation for that event. And the same thing with business. Like, there's going to be things that I create, things that I put together and pursue that aren't as much of a success as I thought they were going to be, right? I've done a lot of different things in regards to building these small little businesses and small little, you know, opportunities that I'm thinking will turn into a business, and a lot of them haven't come to fruition. They've been, okay, a one-off. Maybe they made a little bit of money here and there. Maybe they were just kind of an experience, but at the end of the day, I had to close up shop, or I had to adjust, I had to maneuver, I had to navigate away from it. Okay, these things happen. I'm taking on a new potential failure. I'm opening up a gym. There's like, an 80% fail rate for gyms? Now, again, I'm not someone who fails on things that I'm truly passionate about, because I have the work ethic and I have the ambition, and I'm going to read the books and I'm going to do what I need to do to be successful, right? I'm going to put the pieces in place to be successful, right? I'm not going to lackadaisically fail. So I'm going to hustle and hustle and hustle until I succeed, especially when there's a much larger consequence to failing, right? But still, I'm still putting it out there that I could fail. And I'm not afraid of it, because worst case, and this is how I look at it, worst case, I fail. The gym's not a success. And I lose it all. I lose all the money, right, that I put into the gym. Okay, what's the worst that happens? I start over again? I'm not in a bad position. I'm not in an ideal position, but I'm not in a bad position, right? I'm not going bankrupt. I'm not having to, you know, sell my house. And even if I did, I'm confident enough, based on my mindset and my skill set and my past successes that have given me a lot of confidence, that I'm going to build something that hits, something that lands. Do I think this is going to be it? Yeah, I think over the next few years it's going to be very successful, right? But it's based around what I've accomplished in the past, based around not fearing failure. It's allowed me to collect these successes, thankfully, and it's actually allowed me and produce more confidence to take on bigger projects with a bigger fail rate. But there's a bigger reward. You see how that works? It's the person that's willing to take the risk that's going to get the biggest reward, right? The bigger the risk, the bigger reward. But if you're afraid of the tiniest risk, the tiniest failure, then there's no chance you're ever going to collect the big success, let alone the small success. So it's very delicate, and you want to make sure that you collect these failures and you're not afraid to collect them, because they're only going to allow you to become stronger. If you have the right mindset and the right approach and the right attitude, they're only going to make you a stronger, more resilient, more capable, more experienced version of yourself, and that is value, okay? Number three, collect experiences. Something a little less depressing for people, right? Maybe they're thinking, wow, this Brandon guy's talking a lot about failure. I don't know about all that. Now, again, hopefully I convinced you. I'm pretty sure I did, because that was a pretty damn good argument. But experiences, we can all get behind that. Collect experiences. We hear this all the time. Happiness does not lie on what you have. It lies on the things you do, right? The experiences you collect are far more valuable than the things you collect, right? There's a difference between type one fun and type two fun. Type one fun is, I'm gonna go buy something that gives me a big sense of excitement, a big sense of gratification in the moment, right? This big dopamine hit. You go out, you buy yourself an expensive pair of shoes. You go out, you buy yourself an expensive car. There's this immediate rush. You're satisfied, you're happy, you're excited. It's fun, right? That's type one fun. Because it's happening now. It's not going to last you very long, right? When you buy a pair of shoes you're really excited about right now, are you going to get that same sense of excitement 2 weeks later, 10 days later, a month later? No, right? You're going to have them. They're going to look good. You're going to be happy, yada, yada. But you're not going to really think back and go, wow, remember that time when we bought those shoes, how excited you were? No, you're going to forget about it. And you're going to have to go buy another pair of shoes eventually that you're excited about. And the pattern continues. With experiences, which is type two fun, it's the stuff in the moment that isn't necessarily the most you know, gratifying in the moment, but it gives you this appreciation and sense of fulfillment to think back onto, right? So when you go and you go and travel, right? Maybe you do a backpacking trip across Europe, or you go to Thailand, or you go to Africa, or you go to Australia, and you experience that culture. You experience doing this thing that requires a lot of grit, a lot of exposing yourself to what could be. But that kind of experience gives you this sense of fulfillment, right? It literally makes you feel happy just to think back onto. So when I think back to my trip in Thailand, or I think back to my trip across Europe, or I think back to my business in British Columbia, or I think back to my ultra marathons in Utah or British Columbia or Alberta, it gives me this sense of appreciation. It gives me this sense of fulfillment. It stays with me, right? So collect experiences. If there's one thing I can put out there, that doesn't mean, and again, experience can literally be a new opportunity, a new venture, a new business. Collect them, right? Try them out. New passion projects is an experience. Maybe you're going to try to sell your art. Maybe you're going to try to sell the very thing that you like to make at home. My mom, for example, she makes cakes. She took her passion, she turned it into a small little business. She still has her own job, but she likes it as a side business, loves it. It's an experience for her to create a wedding cake for somebody, right? That's just an example of the different types of experiences. We have travel, but we also have ventures and passions that we're excited about. New opportunities or experiences. Hey, I have an opportunity to speak at an event, right? Try to collect more of those. Those are the moments that are going to give you this incredible sense of nervousness, an incredible sense of rush, but an incredible sense of satisfaction, lasting satisfaction that you went on stage, you did something, you talked about your passion, you shared your story, and you connected with a bunch of people to inspire them and motivate them. Just an example, right? Explorations, expeditions, right? You have the opportunity to do something. Last year I went on, I don't know how I didn't mention that earlier with my experience, but I did that across Canada road trip where I did 10 half Ironmans with 50,000 pounds of lifting at 1.5 times my body weight every single day, right? That's an expedition, right? That is a 10-day expedition from Quebec all the way to British Columbia, right? We hit 6 different provinces, right? We hit 10 different cities. That experience is something that I'm going to be able to talk about to my kids, to my grandkids, and anybody else that wants to damn hear it, right? And I'm actually having a video, a documentary made from our videographer that should be coming out in the next few months. It's almost a year now, so we're getting there. It's got to be done sooner or later. And this is something I'm going to be able to look back on and be like, damn, I'm so happy that I experienced that. I'm so happy I chose to invest in myself, and I chose to invest in this experience rather than talking myself out of it and doing something that's a little bit less taxing, a little bit less difficult, a little less challenging. Obviously, we're talking about a major strength and endurance challenge here, but I'm incredibly passionate and I'm incredibly happy and gratified that I did this experience, that I put all my eggs into this basket to experience something that I had a vision for, right? And again, we're not talking about every person needs to go out there and find this crazy expedition to do or this major project to do, but there's probably certain things in your life that you'd be like, damn, that would be cool to do. That'd be great to experience. And yet we still make purchases that don't allow us to save for that experience. Or we make excuses on why that experience or that expedition or that project would be too time consuming or too much money, right? And there's that fine balance. Like, you don't want to put all your money into these expeditions and come home and you're broke and you're miserable. Like, no, you have to have that self-awareness. But experiences are things that are so invaluable, right? They're long-lasting and they're just something that you can hold with you for the rest of your life, right? Trips are another big one, right? Go on trips. Go on, see places that you're excited about seeing or that you've read about, or you want to see because you've seen it on Instagram, you're like, oh my God, it'd be amazing to experience a couple nights in this villa. Try it out. Save for it, right? Keep it in your mind. Put it on the wall. Like, keep it out there so you see it. Workshops, seminars, conferences. These are experiences, right? These are things that are actually going to immediately improve your life, but still give you that long-lasting value as well. Like, these workshops and seminars, they're incredibly inspiring. When I worked that direct marketing job and we would go to these, they were biannual kind of leadership conferences for the best leaders or the top leaders, sorry, in each office. And you go there and you're listening to stories of these individuals that were in your shoes at one point, and now they're running a 30-person office and they're thriving, and maybe they have a million-dollar business and they're doing incredible things. And that experience, you know, and that energy oozes into you that you go back home and you're super motivated, super driven, and super excited about life. Like, it's a booster shot of some sort of steroid, right? This is this sense of euphoria on I can conquer the world, right? And these are invaluable, right? Even if you don't go on to conquer the world, you can still look back to those experiences and go, damn, that was a fun part of my life, right? Conferences are the same thing. What about retreats, right? Yoga, fitness, ayahuasca retreats, if you're really looking for something pretty gnarly. Like, these retreats are experiences. They're not just you lying on a beach, right? Doing nothing and coming home and having, you know, to go back to the same old. These retreats are fulfilling. They're community oriented. They're built around progress and self-growth. And you learn about yourself and you do something that's productive while you're vacationing and getting sun and sand. Like, these are the things to experience. And I know it's one of those things, it's easy to talk yourself into doing the easy thing. Like, I just want to sit there and lie on a beach. And that's you. God bless you. Go do that. But again, don't shoo-shoo retreats. That's the right word. I don't even know. But don't just shit on retreats if you never experienced it. Or maybe you do want to experience and you kind of don't know if it's going to be the right thing for you. Well, try it out. The worst case scenario, you might say, I absolutely love this thing. I want to go back every single year. And the worst case scenario, you still went on a amazing vacation where you got sun, sand, and water, right? Challenges, events, races. These are experiences. Signing up for a 10K, sign up for a marathon, sign up for a half Ironman, a full Ironman, sign up for a jiu-jitsu tournament, sign up to have a kickboxing match, like whatever, right? You know, doing things that challenge the body, challenge your physiology, challenge your mind. These are experiences. These are things that are going to improve you as a person. They're going to grow you. They're going to make you a more growth-oriented individual. So experiences, collect them as much as you can. Every single year, find time, make time. Put money aside to collect experiences, right? 2 to 3 experiences at least. And maybe they're divided into, well, one's going to be travel, one's going to be a workshop or seminar I'm super excited about to enhance my skill set or my potential to grow. And one's going to be a challenge or an event or a race I'm super excited about. Maybe the next year it becomes a retreat or maybe it becomes a conference, you know, whatever. Maybe if you're fortunate enough, it becomes an expedition of some sort. Right? Like, there's just so many different ways to experience life. Collect it. Don't be someone who lets life pass them by. Don't be someone who says, I can do it next year. I can do it next year. You're going to look back and say, damn, I should have done it. I should have collected more experiences. I should have collected more moments that I could look back on to be excited about and will allow me to experience them over and over and over in my head through picture, through video for the rest of my life. Number 4, last one here. Connections. Collect connections. Now, what I mean by that is expand your network. Don't be someone who is cutting off potential of new communication, right? You don't want to get so stuck in your ways that you're unwilling to build on what you have, right? Now, some people might have a really good network right now, a really good social network, and they love their life, and they have a lot of love, a lot of connection. They have a big community, and that's fantastic. But if you can expand your network and bring in more valuable people, people that, you know, enhance your quality of life, that improve your well-being, that challenge you, that help you grow, that help you navigate different spaces, more appropriately, more efficiently do that, right? Maybe that can even be mentors, right? It can be coaches. It can be joining a community, joining a class, and creating connections of like-minded people, which is so important to not get into a place where you say, well, I'm done meeting new people. I'm done communicating with people I don't know. Because when you go out and you actually connect with someone on a one-on-one basis, maybe you know them, maybe you don't. Let's say you don't know them. You just kind of run into them. You start shooting the shit. A lot of the times, we don't make the time to see the people that are like, you know, staples in our life. Let's just say family or really close friends. Life gets busy. And a lot of the interactions that we have, that we experience, is through community, is through classes, is through virtual workshops or seminars or coaching or whatever, right? And those connections, they add value to your life. If they don't, obviously, remove them. So those connections, even though they might not be as important one-on-one as your family and your loved ones and your best friends, they're still incredibly valuable because they're taking up a big chunk of your time. And you're probably seeing these people and connecting with these people far more than you're connecting with the ones that are quote-unquote closest to you. So don't be afraid to make new connections. Don't be afraid to ask your friend to introduce me to someone in a field or space that you want to learn about. You know, I got a friend who has started, you know, playing around in the world of real estate investing. And for me, it's like, I want to build that connection. And I said, hey, do you mind introducing me to so-and-so so I can create that connection and I can get around more like-minded people. And hopefully this enhances my quality of life and enhances my wealth. It enhances my knowledge base on this particular subject matter, and it expedites the process, right? And maybe I, you know, start connecting with different coaches and I build a community of coaches, and this leads to new opportunities and new ventures and new experiences, right? And maybe new successes. So you don't want to be someone who gets so stuck in their way that all they do is surround themselves with the same people over and over and over, and those same people aren't improving your life. It's different if you're thriving, if you're prospering, if you are literally just in a phenomenal position in life. That's different, right? Maybe you say, hey, I got a handful of people in my network right now. I barely have time to see any other people, and I'm loving life. Okay, it's a little bit different. But again, I would still even argue there's room for smaller little connections to be had, right? Maybe they're, my dad is a big social guy. He goes to Tim Hortons. He built up this connection with Tim Hortons people in the morning. He goes has coffee with, simply by connecting with people that show up and have coffee at 6 a.m. And now he has a little group of people, five or six of them, a wide variety of individuals. You have 95-year-olds. You got young guys. You got old guys. You got retired guys. And they just connect, right? And it adds value to his life. And if he was closed off to it, say, I don't want to meet new people, I don't want to interact with new people, he would never have that very valuable, very consistent part of his day met, where he does have the ability to connect and communicate and socialize with people before the day even begins. And he's in a great mood. He feels, because we know that. We know that social connection and laughter and touch, this releases a lot of endorphins. It gives you this oxytocin release, right? Compared to just talking to people on the phone or just talking to, you know, people virtually. So don't underestimate or undervalue how connections can enhance your life and how collecting more of them. And they don't have to become big parts. They don't have to become instrumental parts of your life, but how these small connections can add a lot of value to not only your life presently, but can actually keep you alive longer, because there is a ton of research showing the importance of socialization and community connection in terms of extending lifespan as well, right? And health span, which is the quality of your life as you age. So there you go, guys. I hope you like this one. Like I said, four things truly worth collecting that I guarantee if you pursue these things, you will have greater stories. You will have a greater sense of fulfillment. Your life will be fuller and you'll simply just feel better, right? Like a book's immediate. Pursuing failure, immediate, because there's purposes, there's passion connected to pursuing things that might result in failure. But at least you're trying. This alone gives you this sense of I'm an action taker. Experiences, same thing. That allows you to go out and experience life in a new, more stimulating manner and connection, something that enhances our quality of life, enhances our life and health span as a whole. So there you go. Hope you enjoy this one. We'll see you in the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.